WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A little bit overcast out there, a little chillier. It's only 49 degrees, which is about a degree less than we were yesterday, but it does feel a little chillier, even though the breeze is far less. And of course, the real weather is coming up starting tonight, I guess, right? We're going to have this nor'easter coming in. I was trying to think back. There was a storm that we had close to Memorial Day. It might have been on Memorial Day a few years ago. It was when I was working in the newsroom. So maybe like 2017, 18, maybe around that area. Maybe 2019. I forget exactly. I'd have to look it up. But I remember being here and writing stories about fires and trees that were blocking roads and all kinds of stuff. And eventually I went out in the WBSM van and tried to document some of it. And eventually I had to just come back because it was too rough to drive in. But that wasn't the worst storm I've ever driven. And now I know older folks are going to call in and talk about 54 and what was that, Carol? And, you know, some might even remember 38. And I get it. Those were big storms. Hurricane Bob, very destructive storm in this area. And we've even had a few, you know, non-name storms that have been, especially blizzards, that have been high impact storms. But in my lifetime, the 47 and a half years that I've been alive, the absolute worst storm that I've at least been driving in was a couple of years ago. It was an October nor'easter, and it was just the most wind I've ever had to deal with. I was on the Cape. I was working for my dad. He had taken some time off, and before I was working in the mornings, if he took time off, because he's a, you know, he kind of works for himself. So if he took vacation time or sick time or whatever, I would fill in for him. And that would involve making deliveries on the Cape overnight. You know, you start at midnight. He's usually done a lot sooner than I was, but I'd be out there till like 5, 6 in the morning. And so I'm on the Cape during this nor'easter. And at first it was inconvenient. You know, you're driving around, the car is blowing around. He had an SUV at the time that I was using to deliver, and you get blown around. And you're like, oh, this is windy. But then it got to the point as it started to pick up where I couldn't even open the door. And at the time, I was still just about 300-pound person. And I'm trying to open the door of this truck, this SUV, and I'm getting the door blown back on me. And it was just intense, just kept getting more intense as the morning went on. Then I'm in Pocasset making some deliveries and going down some of these side roads. And I come out of one road and there's a tree down blocking the way, so you can't go. So I go to the other end of the road, a couple miles down, And there's a utility pole down blocking the road. So I'm trapped on this road. I have no way to get out. And, against the clock here, not only to make these deliveries, but I had to come in and do my own job. So I'm sitting there looking at this line on the phone pole and thinking to my, this pole that's down and the power line is running across the street. And I'm like looking at this person's yard thinking, is there a way I can drive over their grass without damaging it and get around that pole and that cable? And eventually I got out, but it probably held me up for a good 45 minutes because I sat there and waited to see if anybody came to do anything about it. And then as I'm driving around finishing the last of the deliveries, it comes over the radio that they were closing the bridges. They weren't going to let anybody on the Bourne or Sagamore bridges because of the winds. So now not only am I running behind here, but I'm going to get stuck on the Cape. Thankfully, they did not close them. Or if they did, they reopened them before I went to go over them, because when I went to go drive over it, there was no issue. But that is something that'll happen. If the winds get high enough, if it's dangerous enough on those bridges, they will shut them down. Another reason why it's going to be a good thing to have new bridges built, because they'll be able to better withstand the wind. So anyway, just be careful out there, because they're saying it's going to be a pretty bad one. It's not just going to rain, it's going to be driving rain for a significant period of time. And when it's driving rain, that means it's hard to drive in rain. But hopefully it clears up in time tomorrow night for you to come out to Dighton. If you want to hear me talk about Ghosts of the South Coast, actually, Ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle is this one. So Thursday night, 6:30 at the Old Dighton Town Hall. It's at 1111 Somerset Ave. It's being presented by the Dighton Public Library, but they're renovating the library, and the Old Town Hall has the space for this. So it'll be at 6:30. Going to be talking Ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle, and we'll talk about what the Bridgewater Triangle is, and I'll share some legends and lore, and I will also share with you some of my own experiences on investigations and audio and video and photos that I've gathered over the years. So 6:30 tomorrow night at the Old Dighton Town Hall. And then if you're looking for something to do in July, I'll be talking Ghosts of the South Coast, which is a slightly different presentation. There's some overlap, but for the most part, I try to put different stories in each one. But Ghosts of the South Coast will be happening on July 10th at the Attleboro Public Library at 6:30, also a Thursday night. So we have some rare spring spooky and some rare summer spooky, although I'll be spooky all year round. So any libraries, civic organizations, schools, anybody that wants to book me, I'll go talk about ghosts any time of year. Today we can talk about, there's been some developments in the story. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, of the Taunton restaurant that's at the airport being told they have to vacate the space. I spent a significant time on the phone yesterday with Chef Charles Herman, who is basically the owner-operator of AIR, although the airport owns the space, he owns the business. And he had some very interesting things to say about the whole situation, including I got his response to what was in the inspection report, the health inspection report. Because if you remember, the City of Taunton statement from the law department cited the health inspection violations as a reason why they wanted to vacate his 5-year lease. He's only a year into a 5-year lease. And they want to cancel that lease. And one of those reasons is because of the health inspection. And so Chef Charles walked through that with me and talked about, what was happening. And that all those issues had been rectified. And I know that they were because it was noted in the report that they had 4 days for some things, 10 days for some other things. And some things were taken care of immediately on the spot. You know, like they had a soda syrup box next to a 5 gallon bucket of dishwasher chemical. And all that took was the inspector saying, you've got to, you know, you can't store a food product that close to a chemical. Okay. And they just moved it. But that still gets documented. But they just moved it in that moment. And then they knew not to put it there again. So I've gone through numerous Board of Health inspections over the years. See, I think if somebody went through this that hadn't worked in a restaurant and went through this, they'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. 26 violations and look at all this. But somebody that's worked in the business can look at it and say, oh yeah, yeah, that's I've gotten bagged for that before. It's usually just dumb, silly stuff. Now, I shouldn't say that. I mean, obviously it's important, but it's not anything that's really putting the public at risk. And a lot of it, again, is operational because they come in during the day in the middle of a shift. And if you came in at the end of the night or the beginning of the next day, it probably wouldn't look like that. So we went through some of those things, and you can actually read the full inspection report at WBSM.com and on the app in the latest story, because I thought it was important to include that in there. Some of it was a little concerning. Things like moldy food. Things like dirty plates left in dry storage. But as Chef Charles explained to me, he was out at the time. He had had to go back into the hospital for something related to his health issue when he had the blood clot in his lung and he had collapsed during a catering event. And they came in while he was out recovering. And the staff had just fallen behind in keeping up with things because they were covering for him. And that happens. Some of it is things that they didn't have access to. So one of the things they got in trouble for was proper seafood labeling. Well, those labels were in Chef Charles's office, locked up, and the staff didn't have access to them. Now, you can say, well, they should have had a better plan. Somebody should have had a key, or they shouldn't have been locked up or whatever. But, you know, it's just one of those things that it's an easy fix. And so he talked with me at length yesterday about those. And he also talked with me about his suspicion about what's going on. Because as he told me and as he put in a Facebook post, he was told, allegedly, that if he goes quickly and quietly at the end of the month and packs up and moves on, that the airport commission, the city of Taunton, whoever, would buy some of his equipment. But if he didn't go quickly and quietly, well, then they weren't interested in buying his equipment. So as he said, you know, well, obviously you want to buy my equipment because you're trying to get somebody else to come in here. Do you already have somebody else trying to come in here? And so he's under the suspicion that they have someone else that wants to move in and they're pushing him out to make room for them. And if that's the case, you know, he'd have a pretty serious potential lawsuit on his hands. Now, last night they had a city council meeting, and Chef Charles encouraged supporters of AIR to show up during the public input portion of the meeting. And they did. They had 10 people, including Chef Charles and his wife. And the people who spoke on his behalf talked not only about the restaurant, but also about him and his character. And they made very convincing points. And one of the city councilors made a motion to send a letter to the airport commission asking them to reconsider having them vacate the lease. There was discussion back and forth about whether or not they could do that, whether or not they should do that. There was concern that they didn't have enough of the facts yet. They hadn't actually seen the lease, so they were only going by what they're being told, and that they needed to do a little bit more due diligence on it first. And also, the city solicitor warned them, I don't think we should be discussing motions on this issue because this was brought up via citizens' input and was not a formal agenda item. And just as a point of order and for, you know, keeping everything on the up and up, they would need to put it on the agenda to formally debate it and discuss it. So that would have to be on for the next city council agenda. So that was how that kind of ended. But one of the councilors did ask for clarification of if the airport commission and the airport management did terminate the lease before a new person came through, wouldn't there be an RFP process, a request for proposals? And they said they were pretty sure that that's the way it would have to go. So it's not like somebody could just move in, you know, June 1st if Chef Charles has to move out May 31st. But we can talk more about that. It was a fascinating thing to watch how it all breaks down, including the way that city council meetings run in Taunton. The mayor is the chair of the city council. Very interesting. Well, she runs the meeting. It was very, very interesting. 508-996-0500. Got to take a break here, and we'll be back in a moment with the news. All right, let's go into the newsroom now and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Are we closer to no tax on tips? A bomb threat in the air, grounding a plane out west, and Elon Musk cutting back on political spending.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Department of Homeland Security Chief Kristi Noem is defending the potential suspension of habeas corpus in a Senate hearing yesterday. Democratic Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire asked Noem to define legal right to due process.
A constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
suspend their right to habeas corpus, excuse me, that's incorrect.
The Trump administration has floated suspending the legal right to due process to help with its crackdown on illegal immigration. Noem later said that she supports habeas corpus and added that she also recognizes the president's right to suspend it. The No Tax on Tips Act is moving closer to reality. It's moving on to the House after it passed unanimously in the Senate yesterday. Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen of Nevada called for immediate passage of the bipartisan bill, and there were no GOP objections. The bill establishes a new tax deduction of up to $25,000 for tips. Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas introduced the No Tax on Tips Act earlier this year. President Trump floated the idea during his campaign, and Democrats also supported it. Eliminating taxes on tips is also expected to be included in the upcoming House GOP mega bill. An arrest has been made after a Hawaiian Airlines flight from San Diego to Honolulu was grounded yesterday morning because of a passenger making a bomb threat. 35-year-old John Stay facing state and federal charges of making a false bomb threat and faces up to a year behind bars if convicted. San Diego Harbor Police say he told a flight attendant the passenger next to him had a bomb, forcing the flight to be grounded for several hours. All 298 passengers and crew were evacuated, and nothing suspicious was found. Elon Musk says he's done enough when it comes to political spending. The tech billionaire planning to reduce his financial contributions after flowing millions of dollars into the 2024 presidential election and other campaigns over the past year. Filings show that he spent at least $250 million to help get President Trump elected to a second term. However, Musk hasn't completely ruled out contributing and told reporters, if I see a reason to do political spending in the future, I'll do it.
You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
It's last call for Norm Peterson. Lisa Carton has more details on the passing of Cheers star George Wendt.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norman?
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
Cheer star George Wendt is dead at the age of 76. His family said he died in his sleep on Tuesday. Wendt starred as Norm Peterson in the hit sitcom and was nominated six straight times for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series at the Emmys. After Cheers went off the air, he was given his own sitcom called The George Wendt Show. Wendt also appeared in films like The Little Rascals and Airplane 2, the sequel. I'm Lisa Carton.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox blanked the Mets last night 2-0. Those two teams back at it again. Tonight at Fenway at 6:45.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast. Brought to you by C Street.
Good morning on this Wednesday. Waking up to a gray start. And that's just how we're going to end the day as well here. Clouds are stubborn. They're sticking around all day long. Temperatures as we wake up in the mid and upper 40s. And this afternoon, we're only getting into the low and mid 50s here on the South Coast. Definitely a day for an extra layer, at least a sweatshirt or something like that as you're heading out the door. Mist and drizzle still stays put along the coast as we move into the afternoon. And then we introduce a couple of showers later in the day, especially after 5 p.m. It's not a washout of a Wednesday, but it's not bright and sunny either. That said, Thursday is looking like a wash. Heavy rain and gusty winds on the way with a late season coastal storm. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. Don't forget, too, that the Eagles Flyaway Contest continues today. We're going to have song titles for you at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. And if you enter them at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, when you hear them, you will be entered to win a trip to Las Vegas to see the Eagles at the Sphere. We're going to give you two tickets to the show. We're going to give you round-trip airfare for two. A two-night stay at the Venetian, and $500 to spend while you're out there in Vegas. So all you got to do to enter is listen and then enter those song titles when we say them at 10, 2, and 5. And it's all brought to you by our friends over at the DeMello International Center in New Bedford and Tank Exchange. So keep listening for those song titles. Enter them in. A lot of people have been telling me that they're playing. So hopefully whoever wins is willing to not only have dinner with Lamone, but take a photo with him and send it, because the photo he uses is kind of mysterious. Lamone's been he's got a pretty interesting life. He's been a pro wrestler. He's been in a pretty well-known R&B band. These are all things that he's told us, but, you know. Anyway, you heard Mike tell you in the news there about the passing of George Wendt, who actually passed away on the 32nd anniversary of the finale of Cheers. It was May 20th, 1993 that the show ended. And very interesting to go back and look at. First of all, if you weren't aware, his nephew is Jason Sudeikis, the star of Ted Lasso, formerly of SNL. That's his nephew. So obviously a very talented and funny family. But you go back and you look at that show and say, what character would you remove from the ensemble, or what character would you have a different actor or actress portray? Everything just came together perfectly on that show. The casting, the writing, the performances. And it took a little while to find its footing. You know, famously, they were thinking about canceling it after the first year. But then it became one of the greatest shows in television history. And one that you can still throw on any random episode today and you will laugh. And you got a lot of those laughs out of George Wendt. What I find to be fascinating, though, and it's something that is, you go back and look at TV shows from the 70s and 80s and even before that, and look at the ages of some of the actors and actresses that were on those shows, and you're going to be blown away by how young they are. For example, George Wendt was in his early 30s when Cheers started. And he was only 44 when the show wrapped up. So he was younger than I am now after being on that show for 11 years. And that's hard to fathom because he always just seemed like he was, you know, in his mid-40s throughout the entire show. I'm always blown away when I think about the fact that the actor who played Les Nessman on WKRP, Richard, can't think of his name. But he was 35 when that show started. And you just don't think about that. Because they look so much older. But anyway, George Wendt was obviously, you know, known for comedy, but he'd done some dramatic roles as well. He was on Columbo as a villain, and he played all kinds of different characters. If you go back and look at some of his work before Cheers, too. He was in that movie House with William Catt. I mean, he's a guy that would pop up in things, and you'd always yell, Norm, because he became so associated with that character. But when a couple of years ago, they brought him in for Rhode Island Comic Con. And I went to this Comic-Con with Matt Costa and Taylor Cormier, and we're walking around and like we were remarking about how it was kind of sad that nobody was going over to George Wendt's table. We went over and talked to him for a couple minutes, but like most people weren't going over to get an autograph. And, you know, these celebrities, they work on what's called guarantees. So many of them do. Not all, but many. So when they sign up to come and do one of these weekends, they've got like a, you know, whatever, $10,000 guarantee maybe. So if he doesn't make $10,000, if he only makes $5,000, then the convention owes him $5,000. If he doesn't make a single dime, they owe him $10,000. If he makes 10 or more, then the convention doesn't pay him anything. So it all, you know, they take care of his travel and his room and all that. So all of these, you know, celebrities, you expect that they're going to be making some money, selling some merchandise, selling some autographed photos, taking pictures with people. And the whole time we walked around, like we just didn't see anybody talking to him. And I was like, what? Like the stories he must have. I mean, we were kind of quote unquote working. We were covering this for stories. And I think I might've been running some of the panels like I used to do. So, you know, we didn't have time to sit and talk with him, but just imagine the wealth of stories he must have just from that cheer set alone. So I think that that generation of television stars, you know, the ones who were in the 80s and 90s, like they're the last real TV generation because now it's different. Now it's not done at, you know, these network-owned studios, not as often anyway, not done before a live audience a lot of the time. You've lost a lot of that era of sitcoms. You got to think, they weren't just doing a TV show. They were performing in front of a live audience. That's why they tell you at the beginning, Cheers was filmed before a live studio audience. But the best part of Cheers in my mind was always the cold opens, the joke they would get in before they played the theme song, the iconic theme song, Gary Portnoy at his best. you remember Gary Portnoy's other theme song that he wrote? Punky Brewster, right. But he, Norm, was in so many of those cold open jokes. My all-time favorite is Cliff comes in and he says to Norm, "Hey, I think that's Spanky McFarlane from Little Rascals over there across the bar." And he goes over and he starts talking to him and he goes, "Hey, has anybody ever told you that you look like Spanky McFarlane from our gang?" And the guy's about to start telling him, "Well, actually, I am Spanky." But, you know, Cliff just does his Cliff thing and starts talking and rambling on, "Well, you know, because if you were, I could talk to you all day about Buckwheat and Darla. I had such a crush on Darla. I've got all the episodes on tape except for this one and that one and the He-Man Woman Haters Club." Oh, he's going on and on. And, like, you can see the guy just kind of rolling his eyes a little bit. And he goes, "You sure you're not Spanky McFarlane?" And the guy goes, "Nope, not me." And he goes, "All right, well, see you later." And he leaves. And then Norm just pipes up from across the bar, "Hey, you are Spanky McFarlane, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yep, yeah, I am." But he just didn't want to have to deal with Cliff. So that one always made me laugh. And then probably the quintessential joke about Norm didn't even have him involved in it. Guy comes in and sits down at the bar and says to Woody Harrelson, "It's my first time back in Cheers in 20 years. I haven't been here since the 60s. Oh, man, so much has changed around here since I've been last was here 20 years ago. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, like what?" He goes, "Well, you know, the stairs, you know, the Melville stairs, they used to go down the other direction. And this floor used to be an ugly green tile. Yeah, they've changed a lot in 20 years, even the wood paneling over there." And then Woody says, "Wood paneling where?" And he goes, "Over there, behind Norm." So just, you know, probably the best joke that ever involved him that he wasn't even part of. Like, he's just sitting there reading the paper. Anyway, watch an episode of Cheers when you get a chance in honor of George Wendt. And in honor of, you know, good ensemble sitcoms that just don't exist like that anymore. You know, nowadays it's all stuff that's, you know, filmed single camera documentary style, doesn't have the audience participation, and yeah, well, just different. All right, I've got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. There's an interesting suspect that the Plymouth Police Department is looking for. They posted it on social media. They're looking for a person who shoplifted from the Walmart at Colony Place. The person, and they have photos of this individual. He apparently stole several Lego sets. He loaded up seven Lego sets into his shopping cart and covered them with Bounty paper towels and Charmin toilet paper. He made his way to the front of the store and left without paying. In total, he stole $1,432.90 in merchandise. That's pretty specific. I wonder how they figured out exactly what he stole. Maybe they went and did an inventory on those Lego sets. I don't know. But seven Lego sets. A thing of Bounty paper towels and a thing of toilet paper and seven Lego sets comes to $1,400. And if you are asking yourself, how did that come to $1,400? You got to see some of the Lego sets they have today. You know, these aren't the $10 sets you might have bought for your kids back in the day. These are pretty intense. And they cost up to, you know, $200 or $300. There's one that I really wanted to get that was a DeLorean from Back to the Future, but it's like $120. And that's on the lower end of some of these fancy sets. So yeah, I can see how seven Lego sets would cost $1,000. $1,400. Anyway, we gotta take one final break for the hour. If you know who stole them, Plymouth Police Department, want your help. And if that guy opened them, I hope he steps on every one of them. All right, we'll be back in a moment. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And we'll talk more about that Air Taunton story, although you can read about it at